You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I would really like to know if Marie Antoinette did have a TikTok herself, what sort of videos would she be posting?
Gosh.
Do you reckon she'd be one for doing the TikTok dance trends?
She enjoyed dancing a lot, but but probably like the dancing videos would have been more like Louis the 14th thing, because he was like a ballet obsessed. So I don't know. I think she would probably just do like makeup tutorials or something. Yeah.
I can imagine that.
Yeah, probably. And just, or maybe just talk videos, you know, like these story time videos, like story time of how
the latest scandal or thing that she's just spent loads of money on. Okay, story time. I've just bought another massive painting.
Yeah, or I just commissioned this fake village in my back garden. Yeah, this is how I did it. Yeah.
Welcome back to Bad Manners and bienvenue back to France. In this episode, we're returning to Versailles, that famous 18th century palace you've heard of. You know the one, party capital of France, royal residence for not one but three Louis, and home to lots of smelly people.
There was no running water, there was no plumbing, they didn't bathe because they thought that was unhealthy. It was disgusting.
It was also home to the subject of today's episode, Marie Antoinette.
She would stand there in her bedroom, half naked, trembling and cold, and she just was like, can please the highest ranking woman come in so I can put my shirt on?
Guiding us through Marie Antoinette's life, and yes, her death as well, is this podcast's highest ranking woman.
Thank you so much. My name is Brigitte. You can find me on TikTok as Brigitte Marie. I have a TikTok page about royal history.
When she wasn't naked and trembling, Marie Antoinette was busy throwing parties, putting boats in her hair, spending lots of money, and oh yeah, being Queen of France. I think you'll agree, a woman like that needs an origin story.
So Marie Antoinette was born as the daughter of the Empress of Austria, Maria Theresa. She was a Habsburg, and Habsburgs were, they were a little bit overbred. Like they sort of...
Overbred and inbred, am I right?
I'm sorry, that's what I meant. Yeah, yes. Inbred. She also had
the ones with the massive
Habsburg
chin.
She had the famous Habsburg chin. Big she had chin. It. Yeah, you could recognize them by the chins. And she had them. You don't really see them that well in portraits, but if you see a bust of her, you can kind of sort of it's there. Okay. And she was the youngest. She had like a bazillion brothers and sisters. And she was the youngest. And actually, her older sister was actually, they planned to marry her to the French heir, to the Dauphin. That's like a crown prince title, the Dauphin and the Dauphine. But she had caught smallpox, so her face was full of scars. So they moved on to the next girl, and that was Maria Antonia, Marie Antoinette. And they would name her Antoine at this Austrian court. And she was quite loved. Like, it was nice. Her mother loved her family, and she had all these brothers and sisters. But you can imagine, like, all these sisters would, like, one after the other, they would leave. Mm-hmm. So that must have been sad, but also something she knew would eventually happen to her. Like, these girls, they grew up knowing one day I'm going to, you know, get married off, and I'm just going to have to hope that it's going to be a good bloke, to be honest. And she was 14 when that happened to her. She moved to Versailles, and in her whole life, she never saw the sea or the ocean. She moved to Versailles, and that kind of became her world. That is why Versailles is such an important place to go if you want to understand Marie Antoinette, or any of these people, to be honest, because it was an alternative reality far away from the reality of 17th, 18th century France. Mm-hmm. All that poverty, you know, like, I mean, Louis the 16th, he inherited a bankrupt France. People were not happy.
Well, yeah, so didn't her eventual execution was sort of the stopping point of the old France. Is that right?
Look, I feel like Marie Antoinette has been blamed a lot for the failure of the French monarchy, which I think is very unfair.
Yeah, she spent all the money, didn't she?
She enjoyed spending money. I'm definitely not going to deny that. But if you compare the courts of Louis XIV, Louis XV, and what Louis XVI spent, he was definitely looked at the money a bit more. So they inherited a bankrupt France, and he definitely made mistakes. I'm not going to deny that. He was not suited to be king, Louis XVI, not at all. But a lot of what these people are is where they lived and how they went through life, right? And Louis XVI, he grew up at Versailles. And as I just described it, with all that ceremony and all that splendor and all these, the parties that they would host at Versailles are ridiculous. There was just no limit on what they could spend. That is how these people lived, and that is how we remember them.
Do you have a favorite party story from any of those parties?
Not necessarily a story, but what I like most is the Grand Canal, which was the biggest lake, basically. If you walk out of the palace and you walk into the gardens, then you'll eventually see it.
This was artificially built.
Yeah, and that's kind of crazy if you think about it, because as I mentioned, Versailles was built on marshland. So it was just, people just kept telling Louis XIV, with all due respect, please build your dream home, but not here, because this is marshland. But he did it anyway. And I think that kind of was part of why it attracted to him so much, that it was such an impossible location, because he would be like, look what I built, this miracle. But on that canal, they would literally do these navy battles or
recreations, is that right?
They recreate naval battles,
yes.
And these boats would sink, and they obviously never be able to use them again. And these women are like I love these drawings of these women. They would have these huge wigs, and they would add fake miniature ships in their hair when they went to see those battles.
Those classic big curly white.
Yeah, yeah.
Marge Simpson, wigs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then just shove a battleship on it.
Yeah. And I mean, wigs changed a lot, to be honest, especially the female wigs, but also the male wigs, because Louis XIV kind of started the whole wig trend, because he started balding.
Was that his thing, was it?
He started the wig trend. Okay. He started balding, and he was very proud of his lush, curly, beautiful hair. And then he started balding, and he started wearing wigs. And at one point, these wigs, they just got completely out of hand, because they would be more expensive than everything else about your outfit. And even if you had the most beautiful hair yourself, you would still wear a wig, because it just became part of, I guess, court uniform.
Yeah, so many fashion bits happened because the king just had something wrong with him, and they were like, oh, well, he's doing that now, so we've got to do... Turns out being cross-eyed is really in nowadays.
Yeah, because the huge, the Marge Simpson hair that you just mentioned kind of started because Marie Antoinette had a pretty high forehead. And they, so sort of the hairdresser was like, how are we going to cover this up? It's not good. Because she also had braces, and there was a lot. She had to be beautiful.
And the chin thing.
And she had the chin. How are we going to cover the chin? Let's make the hair the main point of it.
Turns out the beards became very fashionable for women just to cover them up.
No, unfortunately, that would have been good story.
That would have been nice.
The costume dramas would have looked very different if that had been the case. But literally her hairdresser was like, let's just make her hair so high that her forehead will not look as high.
It looks proportional. That's really funny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because high foreheads used to be enormously in fashion, actually. If you look, for example, at, very famous painting of Elizabeth Woodville. Mm-hmm. Is that Woodville? I think it is. The English Queen, they would shave off their eyebrows and the upper point of the hair to make and then that went out of fashion, and they were like, well, what are we going to do about Marie Antoinette's forehead?
Can you imagine the day you wake up having freshly shaved your eyebrows and forehead and they've just gone, no, we're not doing that anymore. Oh, what? I've just done it.
You would not be happy. No.
Ironic they were such trendsetters, considering they didn't even dress themselves. Marie Antoinette didn't even put her own shoes on. Imagine being that pampered. I mean, I wouldn't know anything about that, of course. Louis and Marie Antoinette must have actually been not very skillful people in general. If they can't tie their shoe, can they swim? Can they ride a bike? Have they got any skill set? I bet they're quite
inept. There were no bikes in the 18th century, unfortunately.
Were there not? Yeah.
No, they could definitely.
Did I tell you that I'm not a historian?
You did, yeah. No, yeah. You didn't really say it, but I kind of picked up.
You kind of guessed. Yeah. it comes through.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, there were no bikes, but there were horses, and they were very good at horse riding. But Marie Antoinette was not allowed to ride a horse because they were afraid that she wouldn't be able to get pregnant. So she rode a donkey.
I just need to pick you up on that. She couldn't ride a horse because it might not get her pregnant, but a donkey's fine. Is that because there's a less bounce in a donkey?
Look, either way, it's like it's not true. So
I mean, it's not true. I mean, yes, you're right.
Yeah, I think it definitely would have had to do with the bouncing.
The bouncing, yeah.
Yeah.
They're worried about the queen's...
Her uterus, basically.
Uterus being crushed.
Yeah. Yeah, the most vital, most important part of the queen had to be very much protected. Yes. And I'm quite sure that actually Marie Antoinette's mother, who was the Empress of Austria, Maria Theresa, was very much like a huge part of preventing Marie Antoinette from doing these sort of things, because she knew that if Marie Antoinette just wouldn't get pregnant, then she would kind of lose an ally in the French court. She needed Marie Antoinette to have babies. That was politically very important for her. Yeah.
Protect that uterus.
Exactly.
Keep it away from the horses. High on the list of important things, just after the Queen's uterus, was looking good. Something that the people of Versailles took very seriously.
Looking good at Versailles was very important, and there was this official rule that you could only wear one outfit once at a party. You could not rewear. And these outfits, they would have been so expensive, right? So like this court dress, they kind of have the shape of like a bottle, because that's how wide the skirts would be. Because they wouldn't be like this ball gown. They would only be white at the hips. Mm-hmm. And that was French court dress. That was so expensive. That would be more expensive than what a random French baker would make all his life. Just this one dress. It's just super expensive. And then later on, like, fashions would change. At one point, Marie Antoinette brings in the fashion of a chemise à la reine. And chemise, do you know a chemise?
This is going to surprise you, but okay. No, I am not familiar with chemise.
Chemise is like an under sort of dress, most of the time made of linen.
I've never worn one myself, but
you should try it. They're great.
I will. I'll come to Versailles and
wear a chemise.
Yeah, and shave a forehead.
Yeah,
all over it.
Well, don't.
don't.
Out of fashion.
Out of fashion. Sorry.
Yeah. Wear your hair very high. No, chemise à la reine is this famous dress that Marie Antoinette made very popular, popularized it. And she also got painted in it in a portrait by Elisabeth Fugère-Lebrun, just like her favorite painter, a woman, which was quite a thing. Elisabeth Fugère-Lebrun painted the queen in a chemise dress. And chemise, like I just said, is kind of underwear. So this painting was enormously scandalous. So they were not happy with that painting. And then Elisabeth Fugère-Lebrun painted another painting of Marie Antoinette, which is kind of the most famous painting, I think, of Marie Antoinette, in that blue dress of her holding a rose. I'm not sure if that tells you anything. And that is the story of the chemise.
What a scandal. I've just Googled the painting and let me tell you, it is hot. You can see her wrists. Oh, I think I need to lie down.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for. looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
So what eventually happened to Louis and Marie Antoinette?
Right. So I'm going to just take you to the year 1789, storming of de Bastille. Bastille is like a prison that was stormed by a mob. And we, in general, see this as the beginning of the French Revolution, the French Revolution. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of revolutions, but this is the French Revolution of 1789. And it really would bring us to the end of 1,000 years of monarchical rule in France. That would eventually lead to them losing their heads at Place de la Révolution with the guillotine. Guillotine was designed to make the death more comfortable, so they were kind of lucky in that way. But they lost their heads, and I'm not sure if it's true, if it's a myth, but Marie Antoinette supposedly said at that point, because she was beheaded in 1793, so that's kind of a couple of years later, she was imprisoned and all of that, like, not good. Like, her children were taken from her, her husband was killed before her. And supposedly she said, you've taken my crown, you've taken my husband, you've taken my children. Now please just take my head because it's all that remains to me. It's a very tragic end.
It's some good last words though, if it is true. I want to believe it.
I don't think so, but I love telling them because so, and they describe actually probably the mindset that she must have been in at that point very well because her hair had turned white. She wasn't even 40 and her hair had just turned white because of all the stress and all the trauma. Because this is during the time that all these nobles and all these aristocrats were getting beheaded, right? Mm-hmm. Just mass beheading going on Place de la Révolution. And one of the heads was of Madame de Lamballe, which is probably Marie Antoinette's first friend at Versailles. And she was beheaded and they put her head on a stick and they waved that in front of Marie Antoinette's window. Mm-hmm. Just seeing the head of your best friend who'd just been beheaded, like that kind of traumatic stuff.
That's pretty awful, yeah. Let's try and describe and get the feeling for Marie Antoinette's final moments as she is taken from her cell. What's that like? And then the walk up to the scaffolds.
So she was imprisoned in the Conciergerie, really just a cell. Everything was taken from her. And she writes a letter to her sister-in-law, Louis XVI's sister, Madame Elisabeth. And that letter is never given to Elisabeth. But she writes that letter and they cut off all her hair. And this has like multiple reasons. Like first and foremost, a woman's hair is her pride, right? So we're going to cut off her hair. But also to remove it from the neck. So
you can get better target.
Yeah, so it's easier to, right? So even Anne Boleyn wore her hair in a cap during her execution. They should draw a
line across the neck saying cut here.
No, because you'd lie in the guillotine and you would literally be strapped into it. So it would just drop and it was one cut and it was gone. Yeah, because for years and centuries and everything, like those executions could be very brutal, bloody.
With a sword, you get a blow because you had a couple of beers.
In the back accidentally and like multiple times to take it before the head would finally. So the guillotine was really, it was kind of a mercy death.
Wonderful French efficiency.
Yeah, it was designed to be as painless as possible. I mean, would it have been her preferred end? Definitely not, but it was better than getting an axe in your back. So yeah, they cut off her hair. Her hair was white. It just turned grey because of all the trauma and all of that happening. Cut that off. And she wore pretty much nothing but a chemise and a cap on her head. And she was taken to the scaffold to Place de la Révolution in the heart of Paris. Her hands are tied to her back. And there's this one very famous drawing of her that someone who witnessed it happening drew of her. And you can see that she just sits up straight, looks very proud, kind of like you can't get to me. It's a very, very simple drawing, but it's very, it really gives a good impression of what she must have looked like being taken through those streets with everyone must have been yelling at her and just mocking her, maybe even throwing things at her, right? She's taken to Place de la Révolution, take her off the cart. Her hands are still tight, which is probably why she lost her balance. And her actual last words are, "Pardon, mon cher, I did not mean to do it," because she's tripped over the feet of her executioner, and she tripped and she told him, "I'm sorry, I did not mean to do it." Those are her official last words. Yeah,
That's sort of lovely in a different way to take my head, but that sort of shows she's polite to the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they strip her in this whole thing, because the whole thing of a guillotine is kind of a structure, right? It's kind of insane. Strip her in it. You lay down on your stomach, and still with her hands stripped to her back, and the blade drops down. Her head is cut off in just one go, and they stick it on this
pole.
Just some words I always forget.
Like a lollipop.
Exactly. Wave it around. And this is also a very famous painting. Like, I remember this being in my high school history book, this painting of someone waving Marie Antoinette's head around and her body still lying in that whole structure of the guillotine.
Wow.
And those are her last moments. Yeah.
It's horrendous to feel that having gone through those amazing views in Versailles outside the window of the sprawling landscape to then your final image just being a basket.
Yeah.
Chop, thud, unexpected item in bagging area.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
So, summing up, what do you think is the one big takeaway from everything that we've learned about Versailles?
That it's at the center, I think, of French history. If you want to breathe in French history, this is the place to go, because it's not just the kings, it's also Napoleon that was there, but also like the Treaty of Versailles in 1919 that was signed there. Germany was declared one nation there in 1871. It's just so much history that's just in these walls. It's pride of France, I think. If you want to really feel absolute power, that's where you have to go.
Where is your favourite palace, castle, house, chateau, maison?
Alhambra in the south of Spain. And that was built by the Moors. And it was taken during the Reconquista in the late 15th century by Isabel of Spain. That was the most beautiful place I've ever been to. It's stunning.
What is it about it? What makes it so beautiful?
Just the whole architecture. It's something that you wouldn't really find anywhere else in Europe, right? Because it was built by the Moors, so it was Muslim built, and it was really this last part of Muslim Spain, and it was just the pride of that part of Spain. And it's stunning, and also has a lot of history too. It's where Catherine of Aragon lived too for a part of her life, because she was a Spanish princess. So that is really, if I could live anywhere, that would be it. Yeah.
That answers my next question, which was going to be, if you could live anywhere, in any place at any time, where would it be?
I think about this often, like what time would I want to live in, right? What people would I be able to meet? And most of the time I come to the conclusion that I would not be able to vote, and I would not be able to marry whomever I wanted. And I'd be like, never mind. But yeah, no, if I could choose, I would probably just be like this aristocratic sort of Downton Abbey living in the countryside, like maybe Blenheim Palace or something.
You do that, yeah.
During the Edwardian era, I would probably like survive that pretty well.
And if you could change gender and live at any point?
Okay, that's a good, maybe even the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah,
maybe that would be like Suleiman the Magnificent, that time, that would be cool. Or like, I can't say Fazai, because that was just too disgusting. So,
yeah,
although if I could visit for one day, it would be Fazai, yeah.
Yeah, with some nose plugs.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for joining us. Remind everyone who's listening where they can find you.
Yeah, so definitely on TikTok, which is Brigitte Marie. That's my TikTok. And I'm actually planning on opening some YouTube thing. So, yeah,
Ooh, go exciting.
And see that. Yeah.
Wish you all the best of it. Well, Brigitte, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That about wraps it up for this episode. I can hear an angry mob approaching the studio. So if you'll excuse me, I'm going to flee the country. Thanks for listening. And until next time, protect that uterus, cover up those wrists, and mind your manners. Thanks for listening to Bad Manners. If you like the pod, please share it with your friends. Rate it on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a review and make sure you spill the tea on any of your favourite Bad Manners that we could feature in future episodes. This podcast was produced by Atomize Studios for iHeartRadio. It was hosted by me, Tom Horton. It was produced by Willa Malensky, Rebecca Rappaport, and Chris Attaway. It was executive produced by Faye Stewart and Zad Rogers. Our production manager is Caitlin Paramore, and our production coordinator is Bella Cellini.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. The weather is getting warmer, and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great-looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.